I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
In case you're just joining us, this is Tonight, and I can't think of too much to tell you about it, except I want to give you the bad news first. This program is going to go on forever. It's a long show, goes on from 11:30 to 1 in the morning. This is kind of a mild little show. I don't expect you to say, boy, what a program. You know, just look at it and, you know, decide in about a week what you think about it. It'll, you know, it's not a spectacular. It's, it's going to be kind of a monotonous, I think.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to embark on a journey through a vast galaxy that traverses memory, generations, and popular culture. A magical trip through time as we meet the men and women of yesterday and today who have shaped not only what we see on TV, but the way we see ourselves. I'm Jim Benson. Join me, if you will, on an exploration of television's past, present, and future as we climb aboard the TV Time Machine. Our destination subject today will be the first Tonight Show starring Steve Allen. Bill Harbaugh, the original producer of The Tonight Show, will join us for a fascinating journey exploring his life and career and this legendary talk show franchise. We'll begin our exciting and fun-filled odyssey right after these brief messages.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
It's Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There, you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television, capturing television history, one voice at a time. Today on the TV Time Machine, we explore the history of Tonight. In this edition of our program, we are honored to welcome Bill Harbaugh, the original producer of The Tonight Show. From 1954 to 57, Tonight, starring Steve Allen, revolutionized late-night television, beginning the most successful franchise in the history of the medium. Together with host Steve Allen, our guest helped build the elements and foundation for this legendary television talk show.
It all began tonight.
Over the next few segments, Bill Harbaugh will help us explore virtually every aspect of this extraordinary program, as well as his remarkable life and career. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to stay up late, feel free to say hi-ho, Steve Areno, as we monologue out of the present, only to talk all night in the past. Now, Bill, you're one of the early pioneers of television. Tell us about your early years and what led to you becoming producer of the original Tonight Show.
I was a local director at NBC way back in 1948. There was hardly any television. There was no network at all. It was whatever the Empire State Building could throw out to the land. You know, a little bit of Connecticut and a little bit of New Jersey and a little bit of New York, and at the very bottom. I was got a job for $52 a week, splicing station breaks and commercials together for the shows that went on. There was 35mm film in those days, and it got a little boring, but it was a job that I wanted. It was a sun like a future to be, and we started at 5 p.m. as far as setting the little pictures out with a little kid show called Howdy Doody, and it ended the all broadcast ended at 9 o'clock at night, and that was television in those days. And I finally lucked onto it after about 4 years working around NBC. I got to be a local director. And I did little cooking shows and Daldry on spaghetti and Pat left on the ketchup and stuff like that. And I finally got a vacation, and I went out to California for the vacation. And when I got out there, there was a telegram at NBC saying, please come back immediately. We have just hired a new talent for us, and he's not getting along with his producer that we gave him, and we think you can handle him. And I flew back immediately, didn't do any vacation, and came back, and I met this modest man who I'd never heard of called Steve Allen, and he's his manager, Jules Green, and we had lunch. And he said, Bill, do me a favor. Will you please watch for 5 days the show and then take over? I don't know, but my producer says he sends messages out from the behind the control room what he wants or what I should do or something like that, and I can't handle it. And I said, fine. So I remember it was a Monday, and I started starting my 5 days to watch him work and watch him. And it was a cute show. In the audience, he was modest. He could bring humor out of hardly anything and not putting anybody down, but with funny, modest, cozy things to say with the audience. The end of the show, he walked over to his little desk and he sat down and looked at the camera and said, I want to read you a letter. It's from a bigot. And he reads this letter. It seems that he had had Lena Horne on the show a couple of weeks before. And he reads this letter of what he thought about it. And he didn't duck anything, the words and everything. And at the end of it, he put the letter down, looked at the camera, and said, look, he held that letter up, and he said he hadn't the guts to write his name down. And then he put it down, and he said, if anybody in America that happens to know this man that wrote this letter, find him a doctor. He is the sickest man in America. There is nobody sicker than this man.
Wow.
The house came down with applause, and I said to myself, I'll work for this guy the rest of my life.
Well, what was the audience reaction to that in terms of, did people write letters? Did people support him?
You mean after the fact?
After the fact.
Oh, I think there were good letters and bad letters. The ones that are on the biggest side and those that aren't. You know?
Which is the way it is now, except
right,
only
exactly.
On the internet.
Yeah.
So how did the concept of The Tonight Show come to be?
Well, there's a modest guy called, come on now, it's Sylvester Weaver.
Pat Weaver.
Pat Weaver. There you go. Pat Weaver was the thing. And he started The Today Show with Dave Garraway. And in the middle of the afternoon, he had a big hour, two-hour show called A Home Show or something like that with Arlene Francis.
Right.
And he said, we had this little, my first job was to do a little show with Father Knickerbocker and Steve Allen. And it was 20 minutes long. And it got hot reviews in New York. New York, it was only local, no network at all. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it was the show to see about how modest this guy was, and how funny he was, and how interesting he was, and stuff like that, and cute singers and everything. And it just started to take off. And then he decided, hey, that little local show that's so hot now, let's give it more money, and we'll put him on at the end of the show instead of just finding some other show to do. Oh, wait, well, today's show is with Gerard. We'll call it The Tonight Show because it'll be the last show of the 9 o'clock playing. And that's what happened.
So back then, unlike now, people went to bed a lot earlier.
Yeah.
Did they really believe that there was going to be a substantial audience for The Tonight Show?
Well, I think they did because it got so hot that maybe it was an experiment, you know, because the rating went right through the ceiling with this little Knickerbocker beer show local. And then they called it The Tonight Show, and we were off running. 1954, we went a network. And first it was New York, Chicago for a while. Then it was New York, Denver for a while. And then it took about another a year before we get to California because the lines hadn't been written, you know, made up yet for network. And so it finally, it just kept growing, and getting later and later and later when it stopped. At 10 o'clock at night, at 11 o'clock, and, you know, down the line.
You know, The Tonight Show over the years has had great hosts, of course. After Steve Allen, there was Jack Parr and Johnny Carson. What made Steve Allen the perfect guy for the host of The Tonight Show?
Well, his attitude. In other words, one thing that was good for me and good for anybody that worked with him on the framework of The Tonight Show is you cannot strike 12 every night, 5 days a week, year in and year. And I'm telling you now that the audience forgets that we went on the air live of the moment at 11:30 or 11 o'clock or 11:50 or whatever the time was. It was not done like it's now. It's 5 or 3 in the afternoon, and they put it on, and then they go on and have dinner and have it go to the theater, whatever they want. It was of the moment. And you work 5 days a week getting home. I got home, and I live in New York, and it was coming from New York, the Hudson Theater, at 2 o'clock every morning. I never saw my kids. My kids started calling me Uncle Daddy. It was ruthless, but it was fun, you know, because it was new, and with him, it was exciting.
Now, did you know what kind of show structure you were going to have, or did that develop over time?
It developed. See, he came from radio in California. He had a very big radio show out here with jazz and all kinds of guests and stuff, radio only. And I think NBC, when they got him in the East here from California, let's see if he can work in television. And boy, could he.
So what format elements that you guys created on The Tonight Show, the original Tonight Show, what format elements still exist today?
Number one, going into the audience. And any time that all of a sudden the guest was boring, or the sketch didn't work out, wasn't funny enough or something. And during the committee, I said, Steve, go in the audience. And my God, not once did it not be the right thing to do.
What do you do, Jackie?
I'm a dance teacher.
You have your own studio?
Yes, I do.
We may strike oil any minute. What's the name of it?
Well, it's under my name. Well,
I can't see under there. Called the Jackie's Joint, is it, or what? Jackie's Dance Studio?
That's right. In sync, right over Woolworth.
10 cents a dance. That's a nice arrangement. And who's the lady on your right?
My mother.
She likes some beer? Oh, you're too young. I forgot.
He would talk to somebody and then get somebody else talking to each other, and then there was a guy asleep was asleep in the audience, and he went over to him, and he put his finger to his lips. Don't say anything, and he started whispering to him, and it was there was one guy who had a thing in his lap. I don't know what it was, and he said, "What is that?" He said, "It's my favorite. It's my pet peeve. It's your pet peeve." They did about a half hour on his pet peeve and what he pees it and stuff like that. It was ridiculous and marvelous.
So I guess that kind of answers the previous question, which why he made such a good host. I think
he was great with anybody, the taxi driver, the president of the com- company, and whatever it was everybody was equal and beautifully handled.
Right, because you have to be able to think on your feet and improvise.
That's right. It is an automatic thing, fast as lightning. Yeah, if things would start falling through, he could come through like a bird.
Yeah, now Steve Allen's mind was amazing. How did his mind work on a day-to-day basis, and how?
Well, he had a thing in his pocket, an electric pad in his pocket, and he would write notes all day long, and send it to me or send it to somebody who didn't see that he thinks would be a good idea and stuff like that. I mean, he would anybody that was involved with an idea they had that he thinks was wrong or right, he would write them. It was unbelievable.
Being a late-night show, do you feel like you had more creative control than if you had been producing a primetime show?
Yes, because there was the freedom around Steve. That he said, that's a good idea. Well, that's better than my idea, Bill, blah, 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 or whatever. It was a piece of cake. It was fun. It was going to a party every night. But it did get pulling down on the health and stuff like that. I'd get home at 2 o'clock every morning. And, of course, the weekend, I'd sleep all weekend. But then, after we finally, Steve wanted to have his own show. After 5 years of The Tonight Show, he told everybody at NBC that he wanted to get his own show and that I would produce it. And now here we go, and they okayed it. And that was going to be a big Saturday night show and called The Steve Allen Show. And we had to do about 5 months of The Tonight Show, 5 days a week, and then Saturday, a big one-hour glamour show. Well, I went bananas. I couldn't. I said, I need some help. He said, oh, of course you do. You hire somebody. And I interviewed some interesting people that, you know, that might be right for to help me with this show. And I met a kid, and he had been holding cue cards for Perry Como. And he was very bright. His name was Nick Vanoff, from upstate New York. And he was sitting on the edge of the chair, and I was talking to him. And they got a call from the producer of the Perry Como show. They said, look, if you don't let me have him back, I've got to have him back. He's leaving, and I'll give him more than holding cue cards. He's too good. I said, no, really, I just hired him. And he became, he would be my associate producer.
Right.
Take the pressure off, giant Saturday night, and then five, Monday through Friday, hour and 20-minute Tonight Show.
And that led to a long-term relationship.
Oh, absolutely, forever,
yes.
Until he died. And then he wound up producing Perry Como.
So on The Tonight Show, what do you think was your biggest success on The Tonight Show? What were the highlights for you?
Well, the number one, the little family we had, Louie Nye, Don Knotts, Tom Poston, you know, those guys. We could do sketches by the dozen with them. They were all borrowed out of it. Each one had its own person. Then I got Bill Dana to be one of the Jose Jimenez,
right.
You know? And it was a team. It was a family. It was a family affair.
We're going to have to take a little break from our fascinating journey, but never fear. I'll be back in a lightning flash with the original producer of The Tonight Show, Bill Harbaugh, who is traveling with us on the TV Time Machine.